Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaman Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane. This is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, The Creative Impetus, Chapter 4, The Characteristics of Rishabhadev. Today's verse is number 16, and since it is in prose form, we have not put it on the board. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yadyapi Swaviditam Sakala Dharmam Brahmam Guyam Brahmanayar Darshita Margena Samadibir Upayar Janatam Anushashasa. We can do the word for words, please repeat. Yadyapi, although, Swaviditam, known by him. So it is capitalized, it's referring to Lord Rishabhadev. Sakala Dharmam, which includes all different types of occupational duties. Brahmam, Vedic instruction. Guyam, very confidential. Brahmanai, by the Brahmanas. Darshita Margena, by the path showed. Sama Adivi, Sama Dama Tatiksha, controlling the mind, controlling the senses, practicing tolerance, and so on. Upayai, by the means. Janatam, the people in general. Anushasasa, he ruled over. Translation, if you would please repeat. Although Rishabhadev knew everything about confidential Vedic knowledge, which includes information about all types of occupational duties, he still maintained himself as a kshatriya and followed the instructions of the brahmanas as they related to mind control, sense control, tolerance, and so forth. Thus, he ruled the people according to the system of Varnashrama Dharma, which enjoins that the Brahmanas instruct the Kshatriyas, and the Kshatriyas administer to the state through the Vaishyas and Shudras. Thank you very much. Now we will try to hear with rapt attention the Bhaktivedanta purport as given to us by our loving spiritual master, the ISKCON Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who this weekend we are honoring for the annual Prabhupada Festival. Srila Prabhupada ki! Yes, it is Canto 5, Chapter 4, Verse 16. Would you like me to wait a few seconds so that you can catch up? No, I want her, because I'm going to read the purport. Tell me when we're ready to go. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Ready to go? All right. Hare Ram, 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 Hare, Hare. O Although Rishabhadev knew all the Vedic instructions perfectly well, he nonetheless followed the instructions of the Brahmanas in order to perfectly maintain the social order. The Brahmanas would give advice according to the Shastras, and all the other castes would follow. The word Brahma means, quote-unquote, perfect knowledge of all activities. And this knowledge is very confidentially described in the Vedic literatures. Men trained perfectly as Brahmanas should know all Vedic literature, and the benefit derived from this literature should be distributed to the general populace. The general populace should follow the perfect Brahmana. In this way, one can learn how to control the mind and senses, and thus gradually advance to spiritual perfection. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to this verse. Trinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari haryanama 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 eva kevalam kulo nasteva 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 gatir anyata. So sakala dharmam, which includes all different types of occupational duties. In the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna instructs us in a very concise format what are the symptoms or the qualities of action, qualities of work for the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. He lists 9 different qualities for a Brahman, then the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, Krishi Go Raksha, Vanijam, cow protection, business, trade, and the Sudras, just be obedient to the other castes. But after this quick description, Krishna says to Arjuna, now I'm going to explain to you how all of them can achieve perfection. Because sometimes there may be the thought, oh, only the Brahmanas, they are going to get liberated, not the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Shudras. No. Krishna does not say that. He says, by worship of the Supreme Lord, anyone can achieve perfection. By worship of the Supreme Lord. So you can be a Sudra, yes, but you can achieve perfection by worshiping the Supreme Lord. Krishna does not contradict himself in chapter 9. Manghi partha viapasritya yepisu papayonaya. Whenever I see this word papayonaya, I can clearly remember in India, in a town called Modi Nagar, 1976. Prabhupada had left Mayapur and on his way to Vrindavan, they did a program in this industrialist town owned by one very pious Mr. Modi. And it was at that time that I got smashed really heavy by Krishna. Because my good friend, Hari Sharidas, said, oh, Nirantara, Haribol, Prabhupada is taking rest right now. Me and Pushta Krishna, we want to go take prasad. So can you guard Prabhupada's room? So I said, okay, I can do that. And then Hari Suri said, now Prabhupada is taking a nap, but if he rings the bell, you're to go in and get him his water. Now, I don't know if Hari Suri told me or if I spaced out, but there was something about Prabhupada's cup and where to get the water, but it was beyond me. So Hari Sari and Pushta Krishna went to go take this big feast of prasad. I guess it was arranged by the family. And I was there guarding Prabhupada's room. Hare Krishna. I was praying, don't ring the bell, don't ring the bell, please don't ring the bell. Don't. And all of a sudden, diddling, diddling, oh, and I'm shaking. So I open the door. Prabhupada is behind his, like we have up here, a low desk. So Prabhupada had been taking a nap. So he woke up, and Prabhupada was like this. He sees me. Where's Hari Sari? He doesn't want to see me. He wants to see Hari Sari.
So I'm like, Prabhupada's taking prasad with Pushta Krishna Swami. Where is Hari Sari? So then I see on the ledge a cup. So I go, oh, that must be Prabhupada's cup. And I say to Prabhupada, oh, Prabhupada, Hari Sari said you want your water. That's not my cup. Where is Hari Sari? And I'm like, uh-oh, my temperature is like 110. So I don't even know if I paid obeisances, but I just like roadrunner. I ran out of there. And there's Pushta Krishna and Hari Sari sitting back eating sumptuous prasadam. And I'm like a frantic, Hari Sari, Prabhupada wants this water. And Hari Sari, oh, Prabhupada's cup is over there. The lady will get you the water. Gee, thanks. And he's still like, you know, sumptuous, him and Pushta Krishna there having Krishna Ishta Gosti. And I'm like having a heart attack. By the time I get the water and come back, Yadubar has arrived in Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada knows Yadubar. And the lady of the house is there. So I gave Prabhupada his water, and then I sat down to the side. And Prabhupada is speaking to the Indian lady in Hindi. At every so often, he quotes this line, Papa Yonia, and points to me. I would assume that Prabhupada is explaining to her this verse in Bhagavad Gita, how even if you're Papa Yonia, for those who don't know, Papa Yonia means one who has taken birth in a sinful family. You know, don't, no offense, Americanos, but you take a birth in an American family is usually considered Papa Yonia. So I wasn't upset. I wasn't like, and based on what happened so far, I was like, yeah, I'm a Papa Yonia. I can't even get Prabhupada's water right. So Prabhupada's speaking to her in Hindi, and then every so often he goes, Papa Yonia. So it was like, boom, boom, boom. So, later on I said, don't have any illusions of grandeur, Nirantara. You are a Papa Yonia, okay? You haven't come to the spiritual world. You're no Acharya. You're Papa Yonia. So Hari Sari finally shows up after his sumptuous feast. And he comes over to me and says, stick around, Prabhupada. I'm going to need you for Prabhupada's massage. So Prabhupada finishes preaching to the lady. Everybody leaves, and so it's time for Prabhupada's massage. So Prabhupada's sitting in a gumcha. This is in a different room. And Hari Sari had told me, go downstairs and get the towels, because they had these buckets. I guess it was stainless steel buckets. And they had what is called immersion heaters that makes the water warm. So Hari Sari is doing the massage, and he sends me out to get the towels. I come back in, and Hari Sari says, oh, Prabhupada, this is our Nirantara Prabhu. And I hit the deck, boom. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Prabhupada said, Jai. As if to say, you're Papa Yonia, but you're my disciple. I love you anyway. Don't worry. And I was like, it was like a relief. It was like, oh, he doesn't think that I'm a complete idiot. So that's my big association with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki! So whenever I see this verse in Bhagavad Gita, it hits home, you know. You're Papa Yonia, but that's all right, because that verse in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, if they take shelter of me, right, they can achieve the supreme goal. So this, I always correlate that verse from 9th chapter and this verse from 18th chapter. That it doesn't matter who you are, or what's, whatever. If you take to Krishna consciousness, you can achieve the supreme perfection. And we all know, Prabhupada disciples, whether it's a letter or at the time of initiation, Prabhupada always said, chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, you go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. Emphasize this. This lifetime. So, doesn't matter. I always preach. Krishna consciousness is the equalizing factor. That, you know, from material perspective, these people are very pious, these people are very intelligent, these people are low born. doesn't matter. When you come to Krishna consciousness, equal level playing field. Everyone can achieve perfection. And it's not dependent on this, that, or the other thing. All it requires is I have to get the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. If I get the mercy of Guru Gauranga, even though I may be Papa Yonia or lower, I can achieve the supreme perfection. Therefore, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now in the purport, Prabhupada said something, and when I looked at this yesterday, I said, oh, I have to say something in this connection. Prabhupada says, let's see, oh yes. And the benefit derived from this literature should be distributed to the general populace. So that was Prabhupada. At least from 1972-73 on, what was the message? Distribute book, distribute book, distribute book. Prabhupada said that here in Los Angeles. Please distribute book, distribute book, distribute book. Because that is how our Krishna consciousness movement is going to continue for the next 10,000 years. Prabhupada's books have to be distributed. Like whenever we have the December marathon, that quote always comes. Hook or by crook, the book has to go out. So this is a central, important core teaching of Srila Prabhupada's movement, that his books, Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Krishna book, his small books, his lecture books. Suradas, how many lecture books have been created by the BBT? How many books from his lectures? 40? 14. So if Prabhupada was here, would he not say, double it? Would he not say that? Prabhupada wanted to see, what it was that quote, in as many books as has many languages. So, and in this temple, we are reminded of that practically on a daily basis. That we are meant for distributing, as it says here, for the benefit derived from this literature should be distributed to the general populace. So that is our movement. Our movement is to spread Krishna consciousness to the general populace by distributing literature. The general populace should follow the perfect Brahmana. Here he is. We have the perfect Brahmana. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This weekend, we're going to be reminded over and over again who is the perfect Brahmana. And now a message to the generation after Prabhupada's disciples, that we Prabhupada disciples, we don't got much more longer to live. 10 years, 20 years, 1 year, anybody here guaranteed that they're going to live 10, 20 years? No, there's no guarantee. So, at one point, all the Prabhupada disciples will be gone. And you youngins, it'll be your movement. What will you do with it? That is the question. This movement will be in your hands. Will you turn it over to somebody else? Or will you carry it on? And not only will you carry it on, how will you carry it on? That's even more important. Are you going to change Prabhupada's movement and make it some kind of politically correct, watered-down, wishy-washy movement? Or are you going to remain firm and strong and preach Prabhupada Vani as it is? And when there are challenges from others that we got to change Prabhupada's books because they're too heavy, are you going to say, no, talk to the hand? How? It's a challenge. You're going to have challenges in your lifetime. People are going to try and change, remove Prabhupada, or diminish him or replace him with the new modern Acharya, Srila Bhogananda Maharaj. No, you have challenges. Your challenge is to keep it as it is. Just like you go to a doctor. The doctor diagnoses you, and according to the medical books and the way he was trained and the oath he took, called a Hippocratic Oath, not a hypocrite oath, but it's called a Hippocratic Oath, right? He is duty-bound to give the medicine that is stipulated for the disease. The doctor can't change or edit. He has to give it to you as it is. He doesn't give it to you as it is, he's liable for a big lawsuit. And it's already happened. Malpractice. So we are all, here's the doctor, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we are the nurses. Like I have to sometimes go to the doctor. So the nurse doesn't diagnose you. The nurse simply takes your pulse, draws the blood, and other things that I can't mention. And then reports to the doctor. The doctor gives you the prescription. The pharmacist fulfills the prescription. And if Krishna blesses you, you get better. Still, Krishna's hand must be there. We learn from Prahlad, right? Prahlad says that even the physician can't save you, right? Isn't it up to ultimately Krishna? Yes, same thing in Bhagavad Gita. The five factors, right? The worker, the senses, the endeavor, but that fifth factor is not Bill O'Reilly. That fifth factor is Super Soul, Krishna. So everything is sanctioned by that. So the point is that we are simply nurses and we are to administer the medicine. Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's movement, Prabhupada's message, Prabhupada's vani. And we don't change it as it is. Just give it to them. They like or don't not like, it's not our problem. Now, yes, how you administer the medicine, that's up to you. As we see in our movement. We have some preachers, you're going to hell! And we have other preachers in our movement, Prabhuji, please chant Hare Krishna. So we've got the whole gamut, right? We have all kinds of political affiliations in ISKCON. And that's okay, provided, because we're just arguing or fighting or nitpicking, oh, you should distribute the medicine this way. No, no, no. My way is better. No. Prabhu, you distribute the medicine your way, I'm going to do it my way. When Prabhupada first instituted book distribution, he didn't say everybody has to do the same exact thing, did he? He said he left it up to you how to distribute the book. Right or wrong? Tell me if I'm right or wrong. Right? He left it up to you. We didn't have classes. Okay, everybody has to do the book distribution the same way, like this. No. You were allowed liberty to distribute books according to your psychophysical nature. It's like Suradas in his younger days. He had a particular style of book distribution, very successful. But his style was different from, say, somebody else. Suradas had his own personal, just like when we do kirtan and chanting. This morning I was listening to the Mangalarti. You have a particular style of kirtan. Me, I'm different, right? Sura has his style of kirtan. Everybody, it's not that everybody's a carbon copy. Like, no, there's personality. There's, as I said the other night in the Sunday feast, freedom. So we don't change the medicine, but how you give the medicine, that's up to you, as you like. What does Krishna say, my good friend, Shukadev, at the end of Bhagavad Gita? After Krishna is finished instructing Arjuna, what does he say finally? Yateshasi tata guru. Different strokes for different folks. Do as you like. Right? He leaves it up to you. I've many times said, we don't see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has Arjuna in a headlock and is punching him. Surrender! Come on! Surrender! No. Krishna deals with this like a gentleman. Lays everything out. And then he says to Arjuna, now, do as you like. This is what appeals to me. I'm not into this dogmatic, and you know, it's either this or, no. Krishna gives you, like even in chapter 12, Krishna says, here's the topmost platform. Just think of me. Oh, you can't do that? Okay, then, sadhana bhakti. Oh, you can't do that? Then, renunciation, detachment. You can't do that? Okay. Knowledge. He gives you, you know, different options. The thing is, if you hook into at least one of the options, gradually you'll get to the end result. This is what I love about Krishna consciousness. Find your niche. Find your level, but get in there. If all, like I've preached many times, if the only level of Krishna consciousness you can accept is prasadam, jai, go. Take prasad. Because by the prasadam, one day, you'll chant. Because to get prasadam, you have to associate with devotees. To get prasadam, there has to be association of devotees. At some level. So by association of devotees, you're going to hear. And gradually, that hearing will go in there. And one day you'll say, yeah, let me try. Hare Krishna, Hare. I got my first mantra card. And I said to myself on that bus ride home, what I got to lose? It says, chant this mantra and your life will be sublime. Okay. So all the way home on that bus ride, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So it was like a 2-hour bus and subway ride. I got to my girlfriend's house at 3:00 in the morning, knocked on the door, woke her up. And the first thing I said to her, I said, Linda, you know what? We have to stop having sex. We have to stop getting high. We have to become Krishna conscious. And then I saw the Putana form. Get out of here! And I said, whoa. And she threw me out of the house. I said, wow, this mantra really works. Unbelievable. I had never seen her like this. She was that had her universal Putana form. And then I told my brother the next day, going into New York City from Long Island, I said to my brother, my eldest brother, I said, you know what? Something tells me I'm going to be a Hare Krishna. And sure enough, because I was trying to be, you know, Bob Dylan, Elvis Presley. All I had, I just had the thing is I got this mantra card on the way to a recording session because I was walking down the street and out of nowhere was this orange-clad Martian with white paint. And he spun around, handed me the card, and disappeared. It was like, what was that? That's how I got the card. I guess the guy knew this is the only thing this guy is ready for. Just give him the card and go. So here it is. I'm here. Srila Prabhupada ki! So, Srila Prabhupada, we thank you. We cannot ever repay you for what you have done for all of us. And we hope that we can carry on your movement and continue this movement as you want us to for the next 10,000 years. We pray that the generations after us will follow in our muddy footsteps and improve on what we did, but not change. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yes, Bhrigupati Dasa. Give him the mic. He's got something to say.
Thank you, Bru, for your larger-than-life class. my question is, we're talking about book distribution. And, you know, a lot of books have gone out already, okay? And millions, right? What's the figure? 400 million. Okay, literatures, and probably a certain percentage of those here in the United States, 50 million or something like whatever. Okay, so, you know, still, temples are small, and even a lot of people don't come. You know, it's not like we're just a small group and thousands of people are coming on the weekends. Even that we don't see. And I myself, personally, for the last year, I've been distributing books in, you know, like Latino neighborhoods. And the people really are very respectful, and they take the books with appreciation. And a lot of times, even before I'm, you know, walking away from them, I could see that they're reading them. So they're even, I know they're reading them. And I could see they have the correct attitude. They're, you know, they have it like a devotional inclination. They're reading it with respect. And, you know, they're not coming. I mean, I've been doing it for about a year now, and I think maybe, like, you know, of all the people I've met out there and given a book, maybe one or two have come to the temple as a result. So I'm just wondering what's going on. Are we doing something wrong here at the temple? Is that Krishna's not inspiring the people because he's not happy what's going on here, and, you know, he's not inspiring them to come? Or is there something we're supposed to be doing in addition to what we're doing? Are we supposed to be going out there? And what's your take on it? How come the books are going out? You know, maybe, I mean, obviously there's always room for improvement. More books could go out, but a lot of books are going out, and I don't see a lot of people coming. And what do you think?
What do I think? I think hardly anything, because I don't have a brain. I'm Papa Yonaya. I say that you personally, let me ask you, you don't have to answer. Ask yourself, me, Bhrigupati, am I doing 100% everything I can to push on this movement? You don't have to answer, okay? If you see something, don't blame others. You be the solution. You be the acharya. If you want to do something, don't complain, don't politic, and because it ain't going to happen. The change begins with the man in the mirror. So you ask yourself, am I totally engaged? If not, all right. You're not Papa Yonaya. You have a brain. So if there's some time, if there's some energy, solve the problem. If you are fully engaged, honestly, if you're fully engaged, then it's not, that's it. You're doing, you can't do everything, right? You individually are not ISKCON. So you just do fully your part. Fair enough? Archita Das.
Hare Krishna. You gave the answer earlier on that freedom. Krishna gives the living entity freedom. So everybody's going to take their... Like on Sunday, I met a young lady. She had seen the devotees when she was a child. And then recently she moved in the neighborhood. She got a book from somebody. She came to Govindas, and now she's coming to the Sunday feast. And, you know, it takes time. Everybody's different. You know, some people, like that store owner you told us about in your last class, you know, the guy gets a book, he doesn't come very regularly, but he comes sometimes. So, you know, Kali Yuga is the age, it's not the age really for temple living. It's not really the age. The Prabhupada said, if you want to spread this movement, like he told Balavant in Atlanta, run for political office if you want, but the real way to spread the movement is grassroots preaching. You got to get the people, man in the street, to at least be favorable towards Krishna consciousness. And then you can affect change in society. So that's happening. If every storekeeper in South Central has a stack of books and is giving them out and comes to the temple once in a while, that's a huge success. It's not that they all have to be here jumping up and down at Mangal Arati.
Amala Bhakta would like to chime in.
Wait, where's my bell?
You're what? Oh, okay. I'm waiting for the chime.
Oh, not working.
When I speak, nothing works.
Yes.
Okay. Boss. Now I forgot what I was going to say. What I was about to say is this, is that regarding Bhrigupati's point, I do remember that in the past, for example, I would speak to an insurance salesman. And he would try to sell me insurance, either with my car or my life or accident or whatever. And I would generally tell the person, well, I'm interested in what you've proposed, but I would like some time to think about it. And he'd leave me some literature explaining exactly what he had spoken to me. But that never ended the situation. Usually about 3 to 5 days later, I would get a telephone call. And he would say, you know, how are you doing and how's everything going and have you read what I let... No, I haven't read it yet, but I'm planning... Oh, well, I'll give you a call, you know, in a week or so or 2 weeks, and you let me know what you think of what I've left. So he called a second time, and very friendly, not dictatorial, not imposing, and he would gradually become very friendly to me and influence me through the follow-up. And that's what I'm interested in. Some people, because of their past lives, because of the influence that the book distributor has shown, they don't need a follow-up. They see what is in the book, they like what's in the book, and they, as was mentioned by Archita, they come to the temple or they'll come to the restaurant. That's all it requires. But some people need a little more of a nudge, a little more of a push, a little more influence, and a little more of our own enthusiasm to infect them with the same enthusiasm to let them know that there's something greater, something wonderful that they're missing out on. The book is the basis, like the bait. It's that you get the taste, but from the taste, you need the whole meal. So sometimes the follow-up is very useful, and I notice that sometimes we don't follow up. We just get the book, and that's it. And other follow-up is also praying that the person really will get into the book and love the book and also eventually come to the temple from the book. Praying is very important because Krishna does listen to his devotees.
Thank you. Any other points of reference? We have a few minutes, unless everyone is satisfied. Oh, Jhuta Karma would like to opine.
No, just a question. Actually, the quote you read from the book didn't say distribute books. It said distribute the benefit of the books, to distribute the benefit of the literature. So what does that mean exactly?
You're asking me a question you already know the answer, but that's okay. That's okay. No, I didn't. I'm not saying you weren't sincere. I'm just, yeah. Okay. The benefit of the book, the whole reason these books is Prabhupada wants people to engage in Krishna consciousness. So engaging in Krishna consciousness means hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, serving, the 9 different processes. Prabhupada simply wants the whole world to engage in one or more of these items of devotional service. Because by engaging in devotional service, they will get purified and ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. The benefit of the book is that people, like Amala Bhakta said, they get a taste and then there's a change in the heart, like Narada. When Narada ate the remnants, he had a change of heart. And the way of the Bhaktivedantas became attractive to him, the 5-year-old Narada. So that's Prabhupada's movement. We give them the book, we give them the prasad, and somehow or other there's a change. Like we even used to have that record, Change of Heart. Or it's the title of the 3rd chapter of Canto 2. Pure devotional service, the change in heart. Currently, their heart is materialistic. We want to change their heart to spiritual. Lord Chaitanya's first line, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. Prabhupada's books are filled with hearing and chanting. They get the book, they become curious. Maybe they'll come, get some prasad. We just want the benefit of the book, people to engage in Krishna consciousness. Does that satisfy you? You're very welcome. Anything else? Yes, Dravida has the last point.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you. One of the things that
I think maybe we don't think enough about is that when we, there's outreach, there's book distribution outreach, Sodom distribution, festivals, of course, Harinam, is that when someone responds to that, they're responding to the devotees, they're responding to us, and then if someone comes in contact, say someone visits New Dwarka or any of the temples, is to maintain an atmosphere where the people really feel that, oh, these people are personifying what's in the books. Because the greatest, if there's a big gap with that, they come to the temple and they don't feel what they're reading about, they don't feel it, then they tend not to come back or remain aloof. I think we can recall in the old days, because I was there back in the old days, we all have our story, that was a fascinating story, how, yes, I read the book when I came to the temple, and there were devotees who really impressed me, who really attracted me, who I felt cared about my spiritual life. And it's that really which draws people back to come again and see. So the books actually work together. If we just had the books and there's no movement, then it would be sterile. That's why Prabhupada took so much energy to maintain and grow the movement. There has to be the book. There has to be the personification. So the atmosphere, it's difficult, but to maintain a very inviting and warm atmosphere, loving atmosphere in the temple is what will grow the movement.
Yes, I remember the first time I went to the temple, I had shaved off all my hair. So I had been reading a little bit of Krishna book. So I used to have a big beard and hair down to here. So I decided, I'm cool. I don't need my hair. I'm cooler than my hair. So my parents, we had buzzers like we do in the ashram. So my father used to do that every summer, the crew cut, when we were kids. So I took that buzzer. My mother went. So, because I used to have this big, I looked like George Harrison, you know, the long hair and the huge beard. And so my brother was playing in a rock band at Hofstra College. And I was so miserable and fried, I just laid down on the stage in front of the guitar amplifier. Because I was just fried. So I turned my head, and there's this beautiful girl going like this. I'm going, Jai. Well, I didn't say Jai. I didn't know about it. But I said, oh, my God, there's a girl interested. Great. She goes, are you a devotee? And I go, devotee? No, but I want to be a devotee. Who are you? And she said, oh, I used to be a devotee. And I said, oh, good. Tell me what it's like. What's it like being a devotee? What's it like being in the temple? So she would have to go to class, but in between classes she had time. So all day long she would go to class, come back, and I would ask her about the temple and devotee life and Prabhupada. And by the end of the day I said, I don't know, something. I said, can you take me to the temple? She goes, okay, I'll take you. So I waited for her at the end of the class. We drove to her house. And she said, okay, you wait here. I have to get dressed. And I think she gave me a little Bhagavatam, then she gave me some fruit. And after about 20 minutes, she came back and it was like an angel. She had a sari on. She had teal. It was like, wow, an angel. And then we drove off. And in the car, she taught me how to chant on beads. So she gave me beads. So she was driving and chanting on her beads, as all devotees did back then, and some devotees still do. And I was sitting next to her trying to chant. We get to the temple, and there's a whole bunch of devotees in the street, and we get to the door, and there's a sign on the Henry Street Temple. And she goes, Prabhupada's here! Prabhupada's here! And I go, what is wrong with you? It's like, what? Prabhupada's here! Prabhupada's here! So we go in the temple, and the first devotee I see is Omkar Dasi. And I see Omkar Dasi, and there was, do you remember Bhakti Vinod? And Sunanda? So they were chanting japa in the temple room, and the temple room was like, for me, magical mystery tour. It was dark, and there was Sunanda, you know, chanting like this intense japa, like his fingers were going to burn the bead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And there was Bhakti Vinod. He looked like a drill sergeant. Hare Krishna. I was going, whoa. This is some place. And then I go into the temple room, and there's Radha Govinda, and I say, hey, that's cool. That's cool. And then I go downstairs into the basement, and Daivi Shakti, who had given me already two books over the months, she saw me. She goes, oh, it's you. So I was like, oh, she remembers me. I felt, wow. And so I sat down, and they gave me this piece of wax paper. And on the wax paper is this green slop. It looked like slop. But I was so hungry, I just went. And I jumped up. This is great! Give me more! Give me more! I gotta have more! Gotta come back tomorrow. So after some time, I saw the girl that drove me. Her name is Devi Dasi. And she decided she was moving back into the temple. She had left. She was going to college, but she decided after seeing Prabhupada, she was going to move back into the temple. So then there was a play, a drama. And Prabhupada was sitting in the middle, all of the devotees surrounding him, and there's Bali Mardan massaging Prabhupada's hand. And I said, is that guy gay or what? Like, because he kept like looking at Prabhupada and massaging his hand. And I went, that's weird. He must be gay or something. Not that Prabhupada, I meant the guy, you know. It's like Bali Mardan. So after the play, everybody comes out. And then Prabhupada comes out. And when Prabhupada came out, it was like this aurora borealis, you know, the northern lights were coming to me. Bow down, bow down. So it was like that, knocked, that Prabhupada's effulgence just knocked me down. And I paid my obeisances and I said, oh, this is great. Now I know what it was like during the time of Jesus. This is great. I have found the 60s Jesus. This is great. So I decided, I had to come back for prasadam. I mean, I was hooked, that prasadam. So I started coming back as much as I could for the prasadam. And then after some time, I came one afternoon and there was Jayadvaita Brahmachari chanting in the temple room by himself. And I said, I would like to move into the temple. And he goes, have you been coming every day for 2 weeks? No. He said, you got to come every day for 2 weeks. Then I could move in. So I started to come, and then that July 15th, 1973, I said goodbye to the material world and joined the spiritual world. Best decision I ever made in my life. Srila Prabhupada ki! Thank you very much. Please forgive my offenses.